This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want. We're launching into the second hour of the program. The toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line, 800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features on the site free, so do head there and enjoy those on us, freetalklive.com. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
Michelle.
And Martin.
Join us again at freetalklive.com. The toll-free number here, 800-259-9231. To the phones and the fun. Let's talk to Matthew in California. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Matthew.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Ian, Mark, and Michelle. How you doing?
Just super. What's on your mind tonight, Matthew?
I'm just calling because I'm out in California, and I was listening to your news break, or news during the break, and they were talking about the most destructive drugs out there, and they listed alcohol and cocaine as most destructive on society. And we have Proposition 19 coming out, well, tomorrow, voting day.
That's right.
I just want to get out there. I know you don't have a lot of stations out here in California, but I'm hoping people listen via podcast like myself. And when they listen to this, listen to that. Well, I don't know if that report's going to be on the podcast, but I just hope people go out there and vote tomorrow and for personal freedoms, in the insanity of prohibition. People just go out there and vote yes on Proposition 19. So
I hope so, too. It's a big step that needs to be taken.
Yeah.
It's full-on legalization for recreational purposes.
And I think law enforcement probably will be a little stiff-necked about it initially.
Of cannabis.
But, yeah. They were stiff-necked about marijuana, medical marijuana, which California, as far as the United States went, they were at the vanguard of. And I think that they'll fall in line at some point because that's what they do.
And it's from all of the polls, if you believe the polls, and sometimes the polls aren't even close to what reality ends up being, but if you believe the polls, it may be a very close vote tomorrow. So it could be one of those situations where your vote really could make a difference.
When I've been getting on my Facebook account, and I've been talking to people at where I work at, and just trying to get everyone out there who I know who's going to vote yes on it, and even the people who are going to vote no on it, I try to talk to them and explain to them that this law impacts you, you know. And I always say it's about personal freedoms. Yeah, you might not smoke pot, but the pot gets the cops an excuse to pull you over, drag you out of your car, search your vehicle,
yep,
for what? For something you didn't even have. So pot enables that. Drugs enable that. And it's just one less tool they'll have to do that. So a vote yes is right for everyone.
Very good, sir. Anything else you want to share tonight?
No, thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate hearing from you at 800-259-9231. That is...
You know, about that, I didn't vote, but back in 97 or something, I think it was, California, I was just trying to look it up to get the correct verbiage, but passed a law to legalize marijuana.
For medical purposes.
Well,
Proposition 215 was in
1996. But it was overturned by the governor, though, at the time.
I don't recall that.
Gray Davis, I believe. I'm gonna look it up right now because the popular vote, it was overwhelmingly, passed in the popular belief at the
time.
Maybe
it's not the medical one you're thinking of. You're thinking of real legalization.
Exactly. Oh. And I didn't smoke pot at the time, but I was for the decriminalization, legalizing it, because in fact it is your own body and everything. But the governor at the time.
Well, who doesn't know people that are cannabis consumers? It's so prolific out there. If you believe that none of your friends or family or the people that you work with smoke cannabis or have at some point in the recent past consumed it, then you're living in a fantasy world. They are doing a really great job of hiding it from you, if that's the case, because it's tremendously popular. It's hard for me to think of the people I know who don't smoke cannabis on an occasional or more regular basis.
Yeah, even if they did it at one point, it seems very hypocritical to me. It really, really, really bothers me that police officers will have smoked marijuana at some point in their life, or presidents or politicians or whomever, somebody in power that has that makes a decision as to whether or not people who smoke marijuana go to jail or people that have marijuana go to jail. Those same people that have had it and have smoked it decide that other people who have it and smoke it go to jail?
Like Barack Obama or Bush?
It's disgusting. It's just disgusting.
Let's continue here with your thoughts. And by the way, we can get back to the rankings of the drugs, because Matthew did bring it up, and we didn't quite wrap that one up last hour. Let's go first, though, to a different Matt. This one in Illinois on the Amp Lines. Hello, Matt.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Last night, I just got done listening to the podcast for the Sunday Night Show. And last night, they were talking about a ancient festival named, I believe Dale pronounced it, Samhain.
Mm-hmm.
And a caller called up and corrected him and said it was pronounced Shawane or something like that.
Okay.
And they commented on how it was spelled, because if you look at it and look at how it's spelled Samhain.
S-A-M-H-A-I-N.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And there's an interesting story that I found out from my son-in-law behind that in the Gaelic language. And the story goes something like this. Back in the Dark Ages, the British in the British lords were pretty much taking over Ireland, and they couldn't understand the Gaelic language. So they wanted the Irish people, the Gaels, to write it down so that they could understand it. So in one of the earliest examples of civil disobedience, the Gaels, because the language was only a spoken language, they pretty much said, well, we're just going to write down whatever we want and pronounce it however we want. And that's why today, when you look at the Gaelic language, you don't know how anything's pronounced.
Yeah, it's crazy. There was a place...
Agreed on that.
I haven't seen very much of it personally, but there was a there was an Irish pub that was opened up out here for a little while called the Cayley House.
Yeah,
and Cayley...
Like Celdig or something.
Right. Cayley is spelled something like this, C-E-I-L-I-D-H. Cildig.
I don't...
It's like Gloucester and Worcester, and it looks like Gloucestershire.
It's worse than that. It's just completely incoherent.
Exactly. And I just thought that that was a great example of civil disobedience. The Irish had more or less been beaten down by the British at this point, and you couldn't much, you know, raise the beat them in battle or anything, so they decided this was one good way to just say, you know, F you, guys. This is what you want. Well, we're not going to give you what you want, but we will. You
know, just to confuse the heck out of them is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yes. And it did that. And
it still confuses to this day.
Right. But it shows the power of civil disobedience, because you know that's the spirit. So this gentleman, he just called about the marijuana bill in California. Well, I hope that it does pass, but even if it does pass, we've already had this Holdren or whoever it was saying, you know, we're not gonna pay any attention, even if you do pass that bill.
So, the Attorney General of the United States, right, basically saying we're gonna crack down.
There was some sheriff in California that said even if it's the law, then we're gonna enforce the old law because we don't like the new law, because we're law enforcement officers. And that's what we do. Some nonsense.
So I hope the people of California, if this happens, can take maybe a little bit of an example here from the ancient Irish and just figure out ways to be civil disobedient, kind of like what you guys are doing there in New Hampshire.
Well, I hope so, too. Obviously, I think that civil disobedience is a very effective method of working toward change, but it's also one that involves risk, and most people are trained to be risk-averse. Thank you for the call tonight, though, Matt. 800-259-9231. That's one of the things the government school system is very good at, is teaching young people that risk is it's not worthwhile. You need to be safe. You need to get a job. You need to plan for your retirement and just, you know, work quietly and don't rock the boat. Don't tip over the apple cart. Don't take any unnecessary risk, because risk is dangerous. That's what they teach you.
Well, not only that, but it was funny moving from California, where the kids and I, and I was married, so I don't want to talk about
it. Tell me the story in a moment. We're going to give away a Tota Sack, actually a two-pack of the Tota Sack. And you can get it now if you are the first caller in at 603-435-1105. That's 603-435-1105. We told you about it last hour. It is the brilliant little device that helps you bring in the grocery bags from the car. 603-435-1105. More details at totasack.us. And More Free Talk Live coming up.
A congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in the 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, "I didn't write it. I didn't approve it. I wasn't even consulted." If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizeDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizeDC.org.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Your vehicle will have more horsepower,
30% or more.
Your vehicle will run smoother, quieter, and more efficiently,
like a high-performance sports car.
And you will save money on gas.
When you use EDGE.
When you want to save at the pump and help clear up our skies, get EDGE, Environmental Device Gas Efficiency. This message started with bold claims.
And we can back up every one.
Go to QuickEDGE.com to learn more now.
Spelled K-W-I-K-E-D-G-E.com.
EDGE is a revolutionary, easy, and inexpensive new energy delivery system that can lower auto emissions within minutes. Many drivers who use EDGE have experienced an increase in their vehicle's fuel economy.
And it lasts for 3 years.
Make a difference in the world environment starting with your vehicle and get an unconditional money-back guarantee when you buy the EDGE at QuickEdge.com or call 888-203-5278. That's 888-203-5278. Or go to KWIKEDGE.com.
Another fine quality product from Energetic Interactions.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. If you dial in toll-free, the number for you, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's 1-800-259-9231, and you can join us online at freetalklive.com. You'll find that there are a lot of features there, and they're completely free. Our Shrine of Female Listeners is one of those features. You can go to shrine.freetalklive.com. You can see the dozens of ladies who've taken the time to send in their validated photo or video to show they are indeed listeners of this program. Shrine.freetalklive.com will get you there. And if you're a lady listener, you can get details on how to be part of the Shrine at shrine.freetalklive.com.
How does a cruise to Bermuda sound? How about a cruise to Bermuda with Stefan Molyneux, Wes Bertrand of Complete Liberty, and me? The cruise isn't just a convention on the water. It's an unconference where the event is what you make of it. The boat has an ice skating rink, rock climbing wall, miniature golf, and much more. The ship leaves Bayonne, New Jersey in November of 2011, but you need to reserve your berth now. There are they are as low as $535, double occupancy. Go to cruise.freetalklive.com.
Why is it a berth instead of a room?
Because that's what they call them on boats. Sorry.
Those boat people just have to be different, don't they?
Well, boats have been around a long time, so they had their own little names for stuff.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Cruise.freetalklive.com. So,
when
it'll be a lot of fun.
It's next year. So you could,
yeah, it's next year in November, but you have to
start planning now.
Yeah, you have to reserve very early, and you know, this is going to be with Stefan Molyneux, Wes Bertrand, and myself.
Very cool.
It'll be a lot of fun.
All right, so 800-259-9231, continuing with your phone calls. Matt is another Matt. We've had three Matts in a row here. Matt in Washington, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello there.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
I've got a question and a comment. So the question is, I go to Canada like once every 2 weeks just for a day trip, and then I come back, and the people on the U.S. side of the border, they're pretty reasonable since I'm a U.S. citizen, obviously, but they ask questions that can be kind of insulting, and I know that since I have a U.S. passport, I don't have to answer the questions technically. Like, that's one of the few rights we have as citizens, is to come back into our own country. So I feel sort of gross answering the questions, and like last night, for example, the guy for no reason asked for my driver's license, which has never happened before, and then he checked the driver's license and the passport against some sort of database he was typing in his computer, which made me upset. But I just wonder what you guys think. Is it, you know, worthwhile from our perspective to refuse to answer their questions and probably submit to a secondary inspection and waste my time there and maybe get put on some sort of watch list? Or is it better to just answer the questions as simply as possible and try to spend as short time there as possible at the border?
I personally think you need to have a goal in mind when mm-hmm. you do civil disobedience. And, you know, when I understand the desire to do what you're talking about doing, but I don't know that there's much value in it. Are you going to be teaching a lesson to the bureaucrat? Because it seems unlikely that your lesson is going to be very effective. Are you going to teach lessons to the people behind them that you might be inconveniencing? Because that seems like a poor way to teach a lesson. I mean, it seems to me when you're coming through that you come through and that's really what you're there to do.
Well, yeah. Mark, would you then advocate that folks go through the body scanners too? Because that's the way, you know, that's the way.
If as long as I'm advocating that people have goals and that they know what they're doing, and if that's what you want to do, that's fine by me. I'm not going to hold it against you, but I think that your civil disobedience needs to be well planned out instead of I need to stick it to the man, and that just doesn't work very well.
For me, there are two things that I am willing to go to jail for, basically, and one is taxes, income taxes, because I believe that I'm a free human, and that income tax, a violation of that. And I also fight for parental/family/children's rights. And other than that, I'll stick my foot out and trip them up, but I'm not willing to take a lot of time or a lot of energy or a lot of my resources. Otherwise, that's all I would do all day.
Yeah.
So I think that if you can define your own mission and what's really important to you, and be willing to, as Ian mentioned in the last segment, put risk out there, then that's great. And then for the other things, you just have to do a little cost benefit analysis.
Oh yeah, what would the risk get you in this particular case? Is it, like you say, is it going to change the bureaucrats' minds? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe you're the person. You'd be the straw on the camel's back for one of those bureaucrats. Maybe they've been rolling it over in their mind how wrong it is what they're doing, and maybe watching someone non-cooperate with them will hit something home. I mean, you never really know what your effects are going to, or what the effects of you refusing to roll over for them when they demand it, what that will result in. In many cases, you probably won't ever see those effects. I know that there was one case here in New Hampshire where Russell Canning the publisher of the New Hampshire Free Press, went to jail and was fairly non-cooperative while he was in jail, and was talking to the guards. And later on, one of the guards wrote him a piece of mail, sent him some mail saying that I can't do my job anymore after
you know,
the conversation that we had.
Of course, it's the conversation. And if you're going to have a conversation with somebody, you need to approach them from love. If you're approaching them from the standpoint of you are a nasty, disgusting government bureaucrat who is overstepping your constitutional bounds, and you need a good amount of punishment, and I'm going to stand up to you because you're a bad person, you're going nowhere as far as convincing that person.
Good advice, Mark. Good advice. So, it really just depends. I mean, do you think that it's going to change? I mean, is it going to change anything in a large scale? No, certainly not. I mean, those governments are very entrenched, and those Border Patrol checkpoints aren't just going to vanish because you've refused to obey. So I guess it just depends on what's important. How much time are you willing to put in? Because it could be hours. You know, maybe they'll even detain you for, who knows how long they'll detain you for if they feel like it. They can probably arbitrarily do that for a good amount of time. I'm not familiar with all the provisions of what they can and can't do, but, you know, they pretty much, from what we've seen, can do whatever they want.
Yeah, the last guy was that we read the article on, it was 2 hours, wasn't it?
Oh, that's the blog post by Paul Carl Lukacs, I believe.
I don't remember the guy's name, but sounds right.
Yeah, that didn't seem too bad, but, I mean, it's like if I'm coming back across the border at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning and I have to be at work the next day, like...
Yeah, I haven't found too many times. I haven't found too many times in life that I have 2 hours to give to a bureaucrat. I just don't have it, you know. Even if I have nothing to do, I'd rather go home and take a nap, and that's what they count on, you know.
Are you
how they manage to get what they do done?
Right. If you do decide you want to do something like this, then it helps if you aren't alone.
Yeah, safety in numbers.
Right. I mean, our friends Adam and Pete from LibertyOnTour.com, when they were doing the Motorhome Diaries, they attempted across the border up to Canada, and there was some trouble that they had with that. And thank goodness they were together, and they had video cameras, and they had the ability to document that. So if you do decide this is an issue that's important to you, and it is one that you want to spend time on, then make sure you've got yourself armed up with the necessary camera equipment that it will take in order to appropriately document this particular situation, because it's going to be those cameras that may prevent them from making some crap up that they otherwise might decide to make up. Maybe they don't like that you've inconvenienced them by having to take you into secondary. Maybe they would have preferred to just wave you on by, and maybe they'll make you pay for that somehow by
Actually, going to Canada has been much, much worse. I mean, I've had some horrible experiences with that where my car's been tossed.
That sucks, man. Let us know how it goes if you decide to do anything, and I thank you for the call tonight. This is Free Talk Live.
Gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
The food storage industry leader has done it again. Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go. Now you can build food storage without going into debt. Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month. Our clubs work with everyone's budget. Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up what you want. If you dial in toll-free, the number for you, 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, where the features are free. We've got a wiki with over 2,000 pages. And all of those pages were created by listeners just like you. You can go and edit virtually anything you see there. WIKIWiki.freetalklive.com. And this program is brought to you by SACL CAI. What is SACL CAI, Mark?
Well, it's a company that, largely what they do is collections, but they can handle any issue that really involves telephony, calling people, whether it's live callers or recorded calling. SACL CAI, they're a big sponsor of the show, and you can check out their banner at freetalklive.com and research more about their website.
Excellent. Let's continue with your thoughts, your calls about what you want. Jacob is in New Hampshire. Jacob, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian, Michelle, and Mark.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hey, Jacob. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was listening to the podcast. I forget what it was, a couple days ago. You guys were talking about the census, and someone had called in and talked about how they pretty much received threats from the government for ignoring their census form.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of had something similar. Of course, I was in a college dormitory last year, and of course, when it was census time, they had all the forms. They went around. I'm not sure if the census people themselves came in or the RAs did it, but they came around and they pinned up a little census form on your door. And, of course, I just ignored it for a while and, went in my room and eventually got thrown away. And then, of course, they went around and they pinned them up again.
Right.
And I threw it away again. And then, of course, then I got the angry one that said, if you don't send this one in, we're going to come after you, for whatever federal law you're breaking.
Yeah.
And, of course, I threw it away again. And then the RA has like a little suggestion box where you can put stuff in there. So I put something in there that someone kept leaving garbage on my door.
Nice.
And, of course, they didn't like that. The RA stopped by because they had the census people come through, and, of course, I wasn't there. But then they had the RA talk to me. And she said I had to do it, but she wouldn't give me a reason. So of course,
well, that's because she was told that you had to do it.
Yes, you have to do it.
Yeah, and of course, by this time, there's only a week left in school, so I decided to just let it slide. And,
yeah.
You know, I never did that one either.
So did they withhold your grades or, you know, do something terrible to you?
No, nothing happened, actually.
Yeah,
that's nice. What I figured. Yeah, that's. I think a lot of people are scared. We had this topic come up on Saturday night, and a lot of people are frightened about not filling out the census. And it's understandable. They are a scary group of people. They hurt people. They threaten people. The government folks, of course, is who I'm talking about. And so it's understandable that people would believe that there might be some sort of cage waiting for them if they don't fill out the census. But there doesn't seem to be any evidence to back that up. That the idea that there is some cage
somebody should show me the person who's been tossed in jail for the census.
Yeah.
And the government's going to take the heat for that.
So good on you for not buckling under the pressure, Jacob.
Yeah, well, they certainly make a big show of it. Of course, they must have convinced the RA. Of course, I never talked to one of their census temporary paid workers that must have come around. I must have missed them not being there when they came around, but. It certainly, the last letter you get, it's got big, angry letters on the outside that says all the consequences of not filling out the census form and all this kind of stuff. And the RA seemed pretty convinced that I had to do it.
Well, yes. Of course.
The RA is easily convinced. I mean,
right.
That the RA has already filled out their census form, and you need to toe the line. They don't exactly know why, but you'll find this with so many people that, when for instance, some store clerk tells you have to do something, you ask them, is that a law or just some rule from your company? Well, they'll say it's a law, because they don't know any better.
Well, look at the RA. Look at the kind of person who, I'm going to speculate here. I never went to a college like this, but I'm going to just speculate on the kind of person who'd be an RA. RA stands for Residence Assistant, as I understand it. It's the person.
Resident Advisor.
Resident Advisor.
Yes.
They're the person who has essentially the responsibilities of kind of taking care of things regarding the dormitory, right? And
then you get free room and board.
It would seem like somebody who is obedient would be likely to become an RA, somebody who is, respectful toward authority and wants it for themselves. That would be the kind of person.
It's the kind of left-wing soft-handed authoritarianism as opposed to the right-wing kind of like...
Yeah, not the school security guard, but the opposite of that. Yeah, I see where you're coming from there. Of course they're going to believe the census people when the census people show up and say, oh, now make sure that you get everybody to participate. It's the law.
Yeah.
Oh,
God, we got to do this.
Well, and it reflects on them whether or not they can get people to submit.
You're right.
I wonder how many did versus not in your dorm of the various different people that lived there or the various different rooms, because it's one per room. So how many of them were turned in? Did you have any friends that were also similarly refusing?
No, not actually. Most people I know turned them in. I don't know if they hounded everyone. I know some people just, ignored it because it was just a piece of paper. Not that they, had any message behind it or, didn't feel right about filling out. They were just college students and there was another piece of paper on the door and they kind of ignored it. But I know my roommate, I had a roommate, I know he filled his out.
Wait a minute, how can that be? There was one per person per room, isn't it?
No, there was one. They did like two forms. They taped it to your door. So, I come and then he already has filled out, and either mine would be on my desk because he put it there, or mine would still be taped to the door.
Did he put your information on his? Do you know?
No. I looked at the form, and it was like one of their basic info ones. So there was a little box to check if you were living away from home. Mm. Or something like that, as I remember. So there's nothing on it that he could have checked and said that I lived there.
So maybe it was a different form for dorm rooms as opposed to, because normally the census form asks how many people live in a particular household and they request information.
There's a little thing that asks them, there's a little special box, I believe, that you can check to say I'm living away at a college right now or something like that.
Okay, interesting. And thanks for sharing that tonight. Anything else on your mind tonight, Jacob?
That'd be it.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 800-259-9231. So a census refusal success story where another person has refused to cooperate, even in the face of the threats, even in the face of the bold threats written on the envelope that say that it's the law, you must obey. Well, I didn't.
They came to my house six times.
Six
times. And the last time...
Up here in New Hampshire?
No, I was still in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
And the last time that... And it was always the same two gals. And the last time that the two came was, I think, 2 days before I was moving. And as the kids and I were driving around in my, you know, big diesel truck, one actually came up to the truck and got in between the door and me, like inside.
So you couldn't close the door?
Correct.
And this is what government authority does to people.
Yes.
This is a part-time, temporary census worker who's believes that they've somehow been imbued with the power of the government. I will get your, not only will I get your information because I can count your kids right here, lady, but you're going to tell it to me. Yeah, I'm going to make
owe me answers.
You tell me, because
well,
you're my servant.
Right, they actually made the mistake of trying to get into an argument and about the law and government and everything with the kids and me. And Omar at the time had just finished taking a constitutional law class. It's like a, you know, college level course. And so he got to educate the women, and their heads were reeling. And finally,
were they together? Or was it two women together?
Two women together. They always go in
pairs.
They double-teamed
you.
From what
they didn't
I understand.
Do that up here.
No?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it was because I lived in kind of a shady side of town.
Maybe it was because they knew you were trouble. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Was it two women the first time they came?
I don't know, because they left a note. But they actually came where we talked to them four times.
So even after you explicitly refused to... consent, they still kept coming back.
Yes. I said, I'm busy. I don't have time for you. No, I'm not going to do this. I'm not interested. Oh, but you have to, because we're trying to draw the lines for voting and for school. Oh, my kids don't go to school and I'm not going to be here voting. But you just need to do this because don't you care about your country? Don't you care? You know, they were asking me the wrong questions.
Yeah, I had fun with the census bureaucrats. When
you put a camera in their face,
didn't
you?
That's right.
Good for you.
Yeah, I recorded both of them. I heard rumor that they were supposed to come back, or one of them was supposed to come back a third time. Allegedly, she just claimed that she did.
Why would she waste her time with you?
She didn't. I don't know if it was a waste of time. We had a nice conversation. I thought it was pretty good.
At least she didn't think it was so nice.
Maybe she was hoping he'd be assertive with her.
More coming up. You can take control and bring up anything. This is Free Talk Live.
MemoryDealers.com offers the world's largest selection of discounted optical transceivers, including SFPs, GBICs, XFPs, Zimpacs, and X2s, that are 100% compatible with all major networking equipment manufacturers, including Cisco, 3Com, Foundry, Alcatel, and HP, at up to 99% off list price. Memory Dealers can also offer customized solutions for your transceiver requirements, including private labeling. Memory Dealers is your trusted source for all your networking and telecom accessory needs, in stock and ready to ship via overnight delivery. MemoryDealers.com.
Have you ever wished that you could buy, sell, and trade in silver in your community? Del Valle Silver has a no-cost turnkey setup for you. You recruit 6 to 8 businesses in your area to accept Del Valle Silver rounds as barter currency, and your wish is granted. You get paid, and you promote the use of real money. This isn't like so many other silver currency setups where it's really just a system to sell high-priced rounds. It's a free market system based on Austrian economics. DelValleySilver.com. DelValleySilver.com.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabyte, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How's it made, Don?
Well, Extendabyte is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabyte continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendabyte. To get your Extendabyte, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MainMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish at M10 gas masks are $3 for $30. And Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MainMilitary.com has them. Plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MainMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179. 877-608-0179. MainMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
This is Free Talk Live. You can call in and take control at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You take control of the airwaves and dial in toll free. Bring up whatever you want. 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll free line. 1-800-259-9231. You can join us online at freetalklive.com and enjoy the various features that we have there. If you like the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can do that. You can do that by shopping with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Just enter Amazon through that link. Free Talk Live gets a portion of the final purchase price. It's normally money that would all go into Amazon's bank account, but they send it to us because we're sending them the business. So get your shopping done, get the stuff you want, and get the stuff you need over at amazon.freetalklive.com.
Also, there are journalism internships at libertarianinternships.com and internships in public policy. You can go there and check them out. They have mentoring for these, stipend, that means you get paid. It includes participation at IHS Summer Career Workshop. They have them for not only the summer, but the spring, the fall. Go check them out. There are internships in federal or state policy, print, broadcast, new media, investigative journalism, all majors are encouraged to apply. This is for graduate students, recent graduates, and undergraduates. They have housing assistance. Check it out, libertarianinternships.com.
All right. So earlier in the program, we were telling you, and we'll tell you now, about David Nutt. He's a professor who formerly was working with the UK government. He was their chief drugs advisor, and they fired him in October of 2009. He since went on his own to form the Independent Scientific Committee on Drugs, which aims to investigate the drug issue without any political interference. And they have come out with a helpful little chart that I believe a similar chart to this was published last year, and I think Mr. Nutt was involved in that as well, that essentially takes a look at the various different drugs that are available, both legal and illegal, and compares them together, creates a score, two scores, one scoring the drug on its harm to others, another scoring the drug on its harm to the individual users that that choose to use it. And they're factoring in mental and physical damage, addiction, crime, and cost to the economy and communities. and they found that alcohol, by far, is the most harmful of all of the drugs, followed closely by heroin and crack cocaine. Now, if you just look at the segments of their chart that only looks at harm to users, alcohol is not the most harmful. The most harmful, I would say, is probably heroin and crack. Those are the two most harmful there, followed by methamphetamine, and then maybe alcohol after that. The cannabis is relatively high on the list, which seems kind of silly. It's a little bit, I guess, kind of a midpoint on the list.
What's the claim that where it is most harmful?
I'm not sure. I don't know if we get that kind of a breakdown here, at least from this news piece from the BBC. But the study involved 16 criteria, including a drug's effects on users' physical and mental health, social harms, including crime, family adversities, and environmental damage, economic costs, and international damage. So maybe some questionable factors in there.
Well, marijuana and its international damage, it's certainly there. There's a lot of crime around the drug war.
This is true. How much of it is around marijuana, I'm not certain.
I don't know.
I doubt it's very much. But that's not.
They're moving a lot of weed over across the border.
The modeling exercise concluded that heroin, crack, and methamphetamine, also known as crystal meth, were the most harmful drugs to individuals. But alcohol, heroin, and crack cocaine were the most harmful to society. When the scores for both types of harm were added together, alcohol emerged as the most harmful drug, followed by heroin and crack, with LSD and ecstasy and mushrooms pretty much at the very bottom of the chart, mushrooms being the allegedly the least harmful of the drugs, which is very interesting that cannabis would score higher on the harm chart than mushrooms. I would really like to know the rationale there.
Well, this includes the harm to international harm and stuff like that. Is that what you're saying?
It includes harm to others and harm to users. And
okay.
The mushrooms aren't even ranked as having harm to others, just harm to users.
Okay. Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong here, and catch me if I am, but what I'm thinking is the marijuana is involved in sort of the drug trade, and mushrooms really isn't, so there's a level of harm to others.
What would make you think that mushrooms aren't involved in the drug trade?
There's just not that many being sold around.
How many times have you bought them recently?
Recently?
Yeah.
Well, it's been a long time, my friend.
Well, people sell mushrooms.
I haven't bought them at all.
We used to just go to the cow
fields. Right, cow fields is where you go get mushrooms.
Yeah. Well, if you want to get mushrooms that were grown specifically for the purpose of taking them and not risking going to the cow pastures, because that's one of those behaviors that can result in people picking the wrong mushrooms and then getting themselves quite sick. Because every time you take a mushroom, you are poisoning yourself to some extent. And some poisons are much worse than others.
Indeed.
Now, I would like to know the positive effect of marijuana consumption from this perspective. Let's say that I'm a critic of marijuana use and I condone it. I would therefore think that it.
You're a critic and you condone it?
I mean, I'm sorry, I condemn it. I'm sorry.
Okay,
Thank you. I condemn it. I would think that I should support actually using reverse psychology, the use of marijuana, because it decreases your sperm count, so there's less likelihood that you're going to procreate.
Is that true?
I don't know.
I've heard that one before,
yeah.
And I suspect it is one of the myths about marijuana.
So we'll get if it's in fact true, though, we could just breed out the marijuana smoker.
Did that work in 1969? I don't think so. I mean, think about all the people that were known for being hippies and smoking marijuana. Did the hippies end up having kids? Yes.
Lots of them.
Yes, they did. So I don't know if there's any truth to that claim.
They forgot who the dads were. Maybe that was the...
So the findings run contrary to the government's long-established drug classification system, but the paper's authors argue their system, based on the consensus of experts, provides an accurate assessment of harm for policymakers. They say that their findings lend support to previous work in the UK and the Netherlands, confirming that the present drug classification systems have little relation to the evidence of harm. And they also accord with the conclusions of previous expert reports that aggressively targeting alcohol harms is valid and necessary public health strategy. Now, I don't know what they mean when they say aggressively targeting alcohol harms. I'm not sure what that means, but I generally think that aggressing
in any form is a bad idea. It's not a way to solve people's problems with substances by aggressing against them. The way to help people with alcohol problems is to offer the assistance and to allow people to make choices for themselves at a young age, especially when it comes to alcohol, because young people are prohibited from, in this country at least, prohibited from using alcohol. It leads to some very undesirable effects where they aren't learning an appropriate way to handle drinking. They're not learning how to drink in moderation. I sure didn't. I didn't learn how to drink in moderation until my mid-20s. And so they're learning it from their friends, and they're learning some real bad habits. So starting early and allowing people to consume alcohol at an early age with parents, for instance, without the parents having to be afraid of getting charged with some sort of delinquency crime or contributing to the delinquency of minors, I think that would go a long way to helping folks. Also, repealing zoning ordinances, repealing alcohol control ordinances would also help, because then somebody could open up a bar in their kitchen. It wouldn't be a problem to have bars in every neighborhood of the entire, wherever the demand would be, there would be a bar to serve that demand without the bar owner having to jump through some governmental hoops, having to get some kind of very expensive permit. In many cases, those permits are not available. I think it's Florida. They're pretty much not giving them out. If you want to get an alcohol or a liquor license, you have to
buy it from somebody else.
Someone that has one.
Sometimes they have auctions for them, but...
Right, but yeah, it's one of those things that's very controlled, like a taxi cab medallion.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more restricted the marketplace is, the more people are going to have to drive in order to consume their alcohol. You put alcohol people, people consuming alcohol behind the wheel, you're going to get problems. So you look at the different areas where you've got real problems with the problems the alcohol creates in society. You've got car accidents, you've got binge drinking.
Mm-hmm.
There are really simple ways to reduce those incidents. And nobody's proposing that. It's always aggression. Let's crack down.
My kids have always been allowed to drink at home. And when I would have other...
And
kids,
CPS is now looking for you.
And when I would have other children over to my house and there was going to be some sort of party or event, then I would discuss with their parents and let them know. And I have this very dear friend, Claudio, from Chile, and his daughter, Ella, was my daughter's age, and they would drink wine when we were having dinner and what have you. And
he was all right with it.
Absolutely. And my kids have never gone out and, been found drunk in the park like I was
when
I was their age. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so for us, and, we've been to Europe, and they would drink in restaurants even over there as long as they were with their parents. And I've never had a problem with alcohol with my children. And
the incidence of alcoholism in Europe are much lower than they are in the United States. And from pretty much anybody that I can talk to in Europe, in any country, says that the drinking age is 18, but that it's not really enforced, that a 16-year-old can go into a store and buy alcohol. It's probably enforced more so in bars and where they might go nightclubbing or something like that.
You can take control of the airwaves and dial in toll-free, 800-259-9231. Coming up, the Hell House. We didn't get a chance to talk about it this weekend, but Michelle's here. She's a Christian. Let's talk about the Hell House. Hour 3, guys.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Juicy Juice, 100% juice, providing a full serving of fruit in every 4 ounces. Visit us at juicyjuice.com. When it comes to nutrition, kids need both fruits and vegetables every day to stay healthy and grow. For the ideal mix, your kids should have at least 1.5 cups of any veggie or 100% veggie juice, and 1 cup of any fruit or 100% fruit juice a day. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.